I'm so proud of our ministry. I look at guys like Carl and just how much he's grown in the last few months. And I know when he's singing songs like this, he really means it. And because I know he's out there doing it, you know. It's easy to get up here, and there's a lot of religious rappers out there, but you know they're not living the life. And Carl's out here, he's bringing friends out to church, seeing his friends get converted. That's the guy we need to imitate, amen?
Amen.
I could say something awesome about everybody in our ministry. I mean, the campus ministry here has been so fired up lately. And it's just been incredible to study the Bible with such a large number of people and just be around such an incredible group of guys, men and women.
Amen.
You know, as a campus ministry, we've been going through a radical campaign, which we've been really excited about because we're trying to be radical like Jesus, amen?
Amen.
And so the first week, I'm having trouble with this thing. All right. I think I got it. So the first week, we took the R from radical and we spelled out reaching for unity. And what it means to be completely united in our households, in our ministry, and as a church. And how we need to show the world our relationships. And God's got to look down and He's got to see us being perfectly united as the body of Christ. Then we took the A from radical and we said we got to abide in love. You know, love has got to be our motivation for everything we do. For loving the disciples, loving the lost, and then loving God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. So that kind of led us into the third week where we took the D and we talked about having dynamic quiet times. Not just sitting down reading the book like another piece of literature, but really digging into it and understanding the heart of God, understanding the mind of Christ, so that we can then imitate that. Which leads us to the fourth week, which today we're going to take the eye and we're going to talk about imitation. Look in Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13 verse 7 says, "Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith." So here we get an admonition from the Hebrew writer to simply remember your leaders. You know, it's so easy to forget the people that have slaved over our souls. At one point, we were all on a prayer list. We were all in someone's cell phone with a little non-Christian sign next to it. You know, God is out there and He's seeking after us and He's going after us. Guys, we were all there. And we got to remember our leaders, the people who led us to Christ and the people who want to lead us on to maturity. We got to remember our leaders. And then it says, consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. What's the outcome of your leader's way of life? It's you. You are the outcome of your leader's way of life. And so when you look at their life, you want to imitate it. Why? So you can make more disciples. He says, imitate their faith. And that's the title for our lesson today. Imitate their faith. You know, God has always provided His people with a leadership to imitate. Whether it be a judge, a prophet, a king, a disciple, an apostle, or maybe now we got evangelists. We got people that God has put in our life to imitate. And we're missing out on opportunities if we're not imitating the people that God has put in our lives. You know, God has given us a free will to worship Him. And it's up to us whether we are going to imitate those people or we're not going to imitate those people. Growing up, I learned how easy it was to imitate and how important it was to imitate. I loved basketball. And any ladies here today, you guys are going to have to bear with me. I got a lot of basketball analogies. I loved basketball. I mean, I had a hoop in my front yard with a light on it. So we'd be out there till 2 in the morning, till the neighbors would yell out the window. You know, I remember Patrick would come over, and my other friends would come over, and we would play till the middle of the night, playing basketball. I'd wake up early the next morning before school. This was before I became a Christian. I wouldn't have a quiet time, or I'd watch TV. I just wanted to shoot some hoops before I went to school. You know, work up a little sweat, get a little energy going. And I would skip school. Don't imitate that. I would play basketball with all my friends. I remember right after school, I'd be with all my friends, and we'd go over to the courts in Bayberry, and we were playing more basketball. I mean, this was my idol. This is what I wanted to do. I wanted to play Division I basketball. That was my biggest dream I could ever imagine. I'm going to play for Syracuse University. This is going to be awesome. You know, and March Madness coming up, we're all rooting for Syracuse, right? Amen, number 3 in the country. All right. That was my heart. I said, I want to play Division I basketball. I remember I went out and I would buy all the DVDs that had to do with Michael Jordan. I remember watching Jordan to the Max. Jeremy knows what I'm talking about. I was watching Jordan to the Max. I watched it over and over. I remember I had this silver case called Ultimate Jordan. 6 hours of Michael Jordan. And I'd sit there watching it over and over. And I would try to practice his moves. I'd watch like 30 minutes and I'd go outside and practice all the moves, you know. I wanted to become a great basketball player. Something happened to me, which probably wasn't great, but I got a job at Finish Line, and I didn't make any money there because I spent it all on Jordans. I was trying to buy all the newest Jordans, right? All the retros, trying to look fly when I walked to school and try to look cool around all my friends. I mean, if you didn't have the Jordans, you weren't cool, you know? So I was trying to look cool around all my friends, and I'd spend all my money. My mom would be, how much you get paid this week? Oh, you know, it was a small check this week. You know, where'd you get all these shoes? I remember at one point I had like 12 pairs of Michael Jordan shoes. And you know what? I was so desperate for them, I would even buy them even though they didn't have them in my size. I'd get size 13, 14. I was wearing size 11. I would buy all these big shoes. And you know, then I came out to Chicago and gave them all to Theo. So now he's got all my Jordans. I wanted to be like Michael Jordan. I remember thinking as a kid, the only two things I really need is Kool-Aid and ESPN. I would drink Kool-Aid all day long. I'd go outside play basketball, right? And then I'd drink all the Kool-Aid in the house, and then I'd go out there and play some more basketball. At night, the only channel I cared about on TV was ESPN. Forget Cartoon Network and all that stuff. I was looking for ESPN. Why? I wanted to see SportsCenter. And I would watch SportsCenter. Over and over. I watched the whole episode of SportsCenter 3 times in a row just to make sure I didn't miss anything, you know, from the day before. I would watch, you know what my favorite part of SportsCenter was? The top 10 plays. And you know what my second favorite part was? The not top 10 plays. You know, the top 10, you got guys coming down the court doing some crazy windmill dunk on somebody else. You know, I remember when Vince Carter jumped over that 7-footer. That was all over ESPN. But then sometimes you got the not top 10 plays, which I watched the other day. It comes on rarely. But this guy was on a fast break. No one was near him. Went up for a windmill. Right on his back. And the whole stadium was just laughing at this guy. You know, we looked so stupid on the not top 10 plays. So, today, I got a top 10 for you guys. And I got a not top 10 for you guys. But amen, I only got 6 points, so I'm going to do 3 of each. And we're going to count backwards, just like they do on ESPN. Amen? Point number 1. The top reasons we should imitate. Point number 2 is going to be the top reasons we don't imitate. Look in Luke chapter 5.
Come on, bro.
Luke 5:1. One day Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret with the people crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge 2 boats there left by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out in the deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. You see, guys, we see a picture here of Jesus walking along the water. A couple boats, jumps in the boat, sits out a little bit from shore, and Jesus was a smart guy. He knew that if you spoke on water, your voice would project. So he got out there, and he's speaking to a large number of people from this boat. And you know, he's starting to wrap up the lesson, and he said, you know, I'm going to perform a miracle today. And Simon, throw your net off the boat. Simon's probably like, Jesus, I'm exhausted. We've been working hard all night. I just got done cleaning the nets. Jesus is like, throw them overboard. Jesus, whatever you say. Throws the nets overboard. I mean, you can imagine the look on Simon's face. And you just see fish jumping out of the water. It said he caught such a large number of fish, the nets began to break. He's probably freaking out. Oh, guys, get more nets, get more nets. They call over the other boat. They bring in the net of fish. They fill up their boat of fish. They get the other boat and they fill it with fish. And both boats begin to sink. Get to shore, get to shore. We need to keep these fish. And so they get to the shore. They got all these fish. And he says, Lord, I am unworthy. I am a sinful man. You see, guys, when we have faithful leadership, we don't go, man, I'm awesome. We go, I do not deserve this. I do not deserve the leadership that God has put in my life. And we take it for granted. Jesus does something pretty cool here. He takes this little, you know, big fish tail, and he turns it into a real life parable. He says, just like you caught those fish, you will now catch men. And Peter was like, amen. And we see him and James and John, we see them become Jesus' best friends. His group of three, Peter, James, and John. And they go off and they do incredible things for God. Reason number three, guys, that we need to imitate our leaders is you will catch more men. You know, your hard work amounts to nothing if you don't have faithful leadership. Peter was out there. He worked hard all night. Didn't catch anything. You put Jesus in the boat, you'll catch a whole lot. And he got to see that firsthand. You know, I remember moving out to Chicago. It was the fishing out here is a lot different than back in Syracuse. Back in Syracuse, we got Lake Onondaga. It was about half a mile down the street from my house. And so I'd go down there every so often with my fishing pole. And, you know, I remember I'd just catch fish after fish after fish. I remember one day I caught 17 fish in an hour. I mean, I was probably spending more time taking fish off hooks than my line was in the water. And I remember right before I left, I was about to leave. And I said, actually, let me just one more. And I threw it and I messed up. And it hit right next to this rock on the shore. And I was like, oh, man. Then all of a sudden a fish came out of nowhere and bit it. And I was like, oh! And it was the biggest fish of the day, a little smallmouth, like 17 inches long. It was the coolest thing, you know? And it was my lack of faith, and God wanted to show me a miracle. And then I moved out to Chicago. I spent $20 on this fishing license. I was like, man, big lake means more fish. This is going to be incredible. I went down to Lake Michigan for 3 hours. I didn't catch nothing. I was sitting there on the side, and there were all these guys with buckets of perch, and I'm sitting there like, what the mess is going on? I got dead fish floating by. I might as well catch something like that. You know, this is Lake Michigan. I didn't catch any fish. It was so much different. So you know what I did? Pat Bouye, bro, let's go fishing. We went way down south. And I mean, I don't know where we were, you know, south suburbs or something. You know, in a loose analogy, Pat is like Jesus. I mean, you could be fishing with a yarn and a candy wrapper, no hook, and you still catch fish. This guy, there's something miraculous about going fishing with Pat Sr. And we go down to this lake, we get there, there's fish jumping out of the water. It was incredible. I was like, man, this is so awesome, you know? But fishing is so much different. I just remember being let down by the fish. But guys, you got to go fishing with Pat Sr. if you want to catch some awesome fish. Guys, we got to let Jesus be in our lives. We got to make sure that we are doing things with Jesus. He wants to be there and do it with us. You know, later in Acts chapter 1, verse 15, we read that after 3 years of ministry, there are only about 120 solid disciples of Jesus. 3 years of ministry. You would think, man, Jesus, he could convert everybody. So he probably had a gathering of a million. No. Jesus couldn't even convert some people. And he had a discipleship group of 120. He ascends into heaven. And then some incredible things go on with the Holy Spirit. And in verse 14, Peter gets up there and he preaches to the crowd. This is the day of Pentecost. They estimate over 300,000 Jews were in Jerusalem that day. Isn't that incredible? And Peter gets up there and he just preaches the word to these people. He says, you guys put Jesus on the cross. You're responsible for his blood. You and the Gentiles, all sinful men. Look in Acts chapter 2. So he preaches this long, incredible sermon. People are blown away. They're cut to the heart and say, brothers, what shall we do? And we're going to pick up in verse 40. With many other words, he warned them and pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. 3,000 young Christians all at once. Who's going to take care of all these people? Not Peter. He can't take care of 3,000 people. You know who does it? All the disciples. The 120. Math whiz. 3,000 divided by 120. I already did it. 25. Imagine if each of you were responsible for 25 souls. Each of you were discipling 25 people. Would you feel like your nets were beginning to break? I mean, you can imagine the pressure that these guys are feeling. 3,000 young Christians. Come on, guys, your nets will not break. You will bring in a catch when you got Jesus in the boat. Amen. We got to imitate the faith of our leaders. And guys, you will catch more men. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Come on, reason number two. We need to imitate our leaders. You'll fulfill your destiny. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 14. I am not writing this to you to shame you, but to warn you, as my dear children. Even though you have 10,000 guardians in Christ, you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I became your father through the gospel. Therefore, I urge you to imitate me. For this reason, I am sending you Timothy, my son whom I love, who is faithful in the Lord. He will remind you of my way of life in Christ Jesus, which agrees with what I teach everywhere in every church. You see, Paul was so convinced that Timothy was imitating him, that even though he couldn't go into a city, he would send Timothy in and know that he would preach and do exactly as Paul would. And Paul had created an exact replica of himself. That's imitation. Guys, who is your discipler? Are you an exact representation of who disciples you? You see, guys, if you imitate your leadership, you'll fulfill your destiny. God wants us to do incredible things for Him. He wants us to do great things for Him. But we got to be humble and get great discipling. You know, this is so much bigger than us. This is so much more important than you and your reputation and your ego. You guys know what ego stands for? Edging God out. See, when you got a big ego, God's out of the picture. It's all about you. It's all about your reputation. You don't want to be like anybody. You can be yourself. Guys, that is not God's plan. He has an incredible plan for each of your lives. He has an incredible plan for our lives. And we got to imitate the people that God's put in our life. Imagine where the church would be if Timothy never imitated Paul. Imagine where the church would be if Peter never imitated Jesus. Imagine where God's people would be if Elijah never imitated Elijah. Imagine where God's kingdom would be if Joshua never imitated Moses. Imagine where you would be if Jay Shelbreck never imitated the leadership that God's put in his life. If Chris Broom never imitated the leadership God's put in his life. I'll be honest, guys, some of us wouldn't even be here. We got to consider the outcome of their way of life. We have got to get fired up about trying to be like the people God's put in our lives. And we have got to be humble and imitate them. You know, I want you guys to think about how different you would be if you did an incredible job imitating the people that you're around. Imagine how much more faithful you'd be if you imitated every leader God has put in your life. Imagine how many more people you would have converted if you would only had done what someone had asked you to do. Imagine where you could be if you only imitated the leadership God's put in your life. You know, I believe some of us, we're not playing in the game. We're not even sitting on the bench. We're not even in the stadium. You're sitting at home on your couch, watching the game on TV, eating a bag of Doritos. You're on your second bag. Guys, Christianity is not a spectator sport. We have got to get in the battle. We have got to get our heads in the game and work hard for God. It is not a spectator sport. It's not something that you watch other people share their faith. If you're sitting there before Bible talk and you're sitting down and everyone else is sharing their faith, there's something wrong with that picture. You know, it's not a spectator sport. You're not just supposed to watch people do it. You're supposed to imitate what they do. You know, I didn't just watch Michael Jordan play basketball on TV because it was cool. I would go outside and try to imitate it to be more like him so I could get better. You know, if you want to become a great disciple, you've got to imitate the people God's put in your life. You know, it was really cool the other day. Me and Ryan were walking around UIC, and it was kind of late at night. We're running late for a meeting, and we looked over, and this kid was stuck in the snow. His car was stuck in the snow, and so we found this little gap in the gate, kind of slid through it, and we went over into the parking lot, and this guy said he was stuck in the snow for over an hour. So we're like, man, we're gonna get you out of here. And this guy comes over and, you know, starts talking to us. And we're like, you know what, just rock forward. We'll push you out. So he comes forward and we push him out. Within 30 seconds, we get his car out of the snow. I don't know if an angel was right there because I haven't worked out in a while. But we pushed him out of the snow and this guy, Lance, was right there and he was so grateful. This guy was spectating. He wasn't even helping this guy move out. He was just like, huh, maybe if you, you know, move the snow, I can go maybe find a shovel somewhere. This guy was just spectating. And you know what? After we pushed him out, he came over and gave me $10. He said, hey, well, we invited them all out to church, and he gave us $10 and said, hey, why don't you put this in the plate on Sunday? I was like, amen. So I got a little extra contribution this morning, me and Ryan. So then we talked to the guy in the car. You want to know what his name was? Jesus. I was like, this is of God. And so we invite the guy out. I said, is this something you're interested in? He said, absolutely. So we exchanged numbers. And then another spectator walks over and goes, thank you guys so much for helping out. Here's $10. And so this lady comes over. We invite her out to church. And we got another $10 for contribution. And then we start walking back, and these people are playing with their dogs. And they said, man, those guys have been over there for a while. Thank you so much for helping. I mean, isn't that hilarious? Guys, we have got to imitate. We got to show the power of God through our lives. Amen? Amen? Guys, imitation takes initiation. We've got to go after discipling. We got to go after it. You know, we got to imitate the faith of our leaders, and you will fulfill your destiny. Amen? Look at Matthew chapter 11. Come on. Reason number one, why you need to imitate your leaders. God said so. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Come on. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. Any of you guys feeling that this morning? And I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble at heart. And you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Guys, imitating Jesus brings us rest. It gives you peace. It allows you to live the life that God created you for. You know, taking on Jesus' yoke is simply walking side by side with Him. A yoke was used to connect two oxen so they could work together in the fields. Jesus Himself says, I'm not too good for you. I'm not just your Savior. I want to work with you. He says, take on my yoke. He says, I'm going to walk side by side with you. I want to work these fields with you. I want to share my faith with you. I want to be in your Bible studies. I want to be there with you every day of your life. Guys, imitating is not hard. It's simply God's plan for your discipleship. Jesus wants to be side by side with us. You know, imitating makes things so much easier, doesn't it? You don't have to reinvent the wheel. Imagine if you guys never knew how to get around anywhere. No buses existed. No trains existed. You had to walk everywhere. Thank God somebody invented the wheel. And now we don't have to reinvent it. We can use cars. We can use trains. We can use buses. But in our lives, we try to do that. Why do we try to do that? You know, I don't like the way this brother leads a Bible study. I'm going to do it my own way. I don't like how this brother preaches. I'm going to do it my own way. I don't like this. I don't like that. We grumble. We're fault finders. You know, I don't like this. I don't like that. Guys, you don't have to reinvent the wheel. God has given you awesome people to imitate and be just like. Amen. Imitating brings you security. When you can see other people doing what God has called them to do, you don't have to reinvent the wheel. You can do what they're doing and you can feel secure about it. This is God's plan for my life. Amen. This is great. Then you make a mistake and it doesn't hurt so bad because you're like, you know what? God wanted me to do that. You know, we can learn from our mistakes when we're trying to imitate. Ryan Williams led his very first Bible talk last Friday, and he did an incredible job. We had like 7 visitors out. We had a lot of fun, and I remember afterwards it felt like devotional. There was so much fellowship going on. People were walking by, kind of checking it out. What's going on over here? You know, this lady from Campus Programs comes over, and she's like, I remember you guys. And I was like, yeah, we're not a group this semester. We kind of dropped the ball there. And she's like, I'm going to look into that, see if I can help you guys out. And so, guys, it was incredible. But, guys, Ryan didn't have to invent how to make an awesome Bible talk. He simply opened his Bible and talked about it, and people talked back. That's how simple Bible talk is. And it was incredible. And I know he's going to do great things for God. You know, God commands imitation. Someone give me a reason. Why is it hard to imitate? Jeremy, why is it hard to imitate? It doesn't matter, bro. Someone else. Why is it so hard to imitate? It doesn't matter, Jay. Someone else, give me an excuse. It does not matter, guys. God commands us to imitate and be like Jesus. Amen? All right, turn your Bible to Revelation chapter 3. Have you guys ever thought about what you're saying to God, what you're communicating when you decide not to imitate? Let's talk about the top reasons that we don't imitate. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 14. To the angel of the church in Laodicea, right? These are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds, that you are neither hot nor cold. I wish you were one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. You say, I am rich, I have acquired wealth, and do not need a thing. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy for me gold refined in the fire, so you can become rich, and white clothes to wear, so you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put in your eyes, so that you can see. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline, so be earnest and repent. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in with him and eat with him, and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will give the right to sit with me on the throne, just as I overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Guys, the church here, they had acquired wealth. They had gotten so much things, so much materialism. They said, you know what? We don't need this anymore. Jesus says, I counseled you to take from me gold refined in the fire, but you chose not to do it. You are lukewarm. Guys, when we have the attitude of number 3, the number 3 reason of why we don't imitate, I don't need a thing. You have become lukewarm in God's eyes. The church had acquired so much, they said, we don't need God anymore. We don't need discipling anymore. Guys, if you decide that, you are autonomous. And autonomous people will never evangelize the world. They will never fulfill the destiny God has for their lives because they do not want input. They do not want counsel. They do not want to imitate. They have become lukewarm. Guys, you need the discipling. You can never not need discipling. You've never arrived. Unless one of you guys is like Jesus, we have not arrived. Until you get to heaven, you need discipling. You need counsel. You need help.
Yeah.
I know I need it. I need all I can get. You know, I remember going out to my grandfather lives in Cape Cod, and we go over to the seashore. He's retired. He's working on fishing boats and stuff, and you guys are going to start, your mouths are going to start watering. He would come home every day with buckets of lobsters, crab, all kinds of seafood. I hate seafood. And he would bring this stuff home. I mean, my dad was loving it. He'd have like 2 lobsters. And you know how you cook a lobster? You take a pan, you sit it on the stove, fill it with water, throw the lobster in there, and you slowly crank up the heat. The lobster's cooking. He doesn't even know it. Ooh, it's getting a little hot in here. Dead. That's what happens. And you roast the, you kill the lobster, you boil the lobster, and guys, doesn't lobster taste so good? Again, I don't like lobster, but everybody tells me it tastes so good. I mean, they like seasoned it and everything for me. I had a bowl of melted butter, I was dipping it in there, I just couldn't dig lobster. But, you know, everyone else loves that stuff. Guys, Satan is doing the same exact thing. Turn the heat up just a little bit more. Oh, he doesn't want to confess that sin? A little bit more. Oh, he doesn't want to get any advice about that situation? A little bit more. Before you know it, you're cooking. And Satan's about to eat you up. And let me tell you, you taste real good to him. He tastes like fresh lobster. Right out of the ocean. Guys, God wants us to do incredible things. But our lukewarmness, our mediocrity, our comfortability, our complacency is going to keep us from ever doing what God has called us to do. How comfortable are you right now? How sacrificial is your giving? Are you lukewarm? And here's a question you got to ask yourself if you want to find out if you're lukewarm. Because if you're lukewarm, you don't know it. You don't know if you're lukewarm. You need other people to point out to you. You become your own standard. And so a question you got to ask yourself is, number one, who am I imitating? And number two, who's imitating me? If one of those questions is no or none or nobody, you become lukewarm. And you got to repent. Jesus says, those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. Guys, Jesus' heart is that we change and that we do more for Him and we work harder and we remember our love for Him. We have got to get that heart. All right, the second thing we say to God when we don't want to imitate, this isn't good enough for me. Look back in 1 Corinthians chapter 4.
Okay, come on, man. Let's go.
You guys ever feel ungrateful for your discipling?
Yeah.
Get kind of prideful about it? Check out what Paul says about this. Paul's about to have a D time with the church. Verse 18. Some of you have become arrogant, as if I were not coming to you. But I will come to you very soon, if the Lord is willing. Then I will find out not how these arrogant people are talking, but what power they have. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power. What do you prefer? Shall I come to you with a whip or in love and with a gentle spirit? Paul's about to have a D-time with these guys. He says, you want me to come with a whip or with a gentle spirit? I don't know about you guys. I want the gentle spirit from Paul. You know, he probably knows how to whip that whip pretty hard. He's been hit quite a few times. And he comes and he says, guys, some of you guys are so arrogant. You think that because I'm not personally coming to you guys, that you're not going to get the help that you need? I'm sending you Timothy. Timothy is a replication of who I am. He says, I'm going to send him to you, and I trust him, and you got to trust me that he's going to give you the help that you need. And these people become arrogant. They say, Timothy, he ain't good enough. I want so-and-so. Some of you guys may be feeling, I want Chris Broom to disciple me. Guys, you have got to trust the leadership that God's put in your life. And we have got to trust that Paul knew what he was doing. You know, we lose track of the big picture. We miss the forest for the trees. We go, well, Paul's not discipling me. Yeah, well, Paul's off in another city converting people. I mean, Timothy, he's good enough. Timothy is Paul. Okay? And we got to be grateful for the people God's put in our life. You know, when we start saying that we're good enough or that we know what we're doing, or, you know, so-and-so, they're not helping me the way I need my help. You know what we're doing? We're getting arrogant. And we're thinking that we deserve great discipling. We get prideful. And we think we deserve to be where we think we need to be. Guys, you don't deserve anything, according to Jesus in Luke 17:10. You know, I'm so proud of a brother, Patrick. He was out of a job for a little while. And he was determined. He said, I'm going to go get a job. And he looked at his resume. He trashed it. You know, he said, I'm going to start dressing up for these interviews. I'm going to start looking real nice. He got advice from all these different people. Hey, how does my resume look? How does my resume look? Let's sit down for a little while. Teach me how to conduct myself in an interview. How do I answer this question? He got all over. He got a job within a week. And, you know, he got an offer from this one place, and then other companies start calling him up. Hey, we want you to work for us. We want you to work for us. And now he's pulled to all these salary jobs. I mean, this is probably the best job he's ever had. And you know why? Because he decided, I'm going to be humble and get the help that I need. I'm going to imitate people God put in my life. Look in Ezekiel chapter 28. Guys, we got to be humble and be grateful for the discipling we get.
Come on, bro.
I got to ask you guys, do you go after discipling? Or is your discipling partner chasing you down? Guys, I call Chris Broom up at the beginning of every week asking him for a D time. I know we're probably going to have a Tuesday morning, but I got to initiate. I got to go after the help that I need. Some of us, we just kind of sit around. We expect other people to come to us and initiate with us. Guys, if you really want discipling, you got to beg for it. And you got to go after it. You got to initiate when you're free for a D time. You got to initiate when you're free to get open about sin. You can't expect other people to be running after you. And that leads us to the number one saying right here in Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 1. The word of the Lord came to me, Son of man, say to the ruler of Tyre, this is what the sovereign Lord says. In the pride of your heart, you say, I am a God. I sit on the throne of a God, in the heart of the seas. But you are a man and not a God, though you think you are as wise as a God. Verse 6. Therefore, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Because you think you are wise as a God, I am going to bring foreigners against you, the most ruthless of nations. They will draw their swords against your beauty and wisdom and pierce your shining splendor. They will bring you down to the pit, and you will die a violent death in the heart of the seas. Will you then say, I am a God? In the presence of those who kill you, you will be but a man, not a God. In the hands of those who slay you, you will die the death of the uncircumcised. At the hands of the foreigners, I have spoken, declares the sovereign Lord. Guys, the number one thing that we say against God is, I am a God myself. People in this world worship themselves. They bow down to themselves. They look at themselves in the mirror 24/7. Guys, we had an awesome Valentine's Day party the other night, but it was so funny to watch some of the disciples like look in the mirror like they didn't look before they came to the party. You know, looking at themselves, posing, doing a little dance, you know. some of us in this room, some people in the world, guys, they say, I am a God. Now, maybe they don't say it outwardly. I mean, God said you say this in your heart. It sounds kind of outlandish for someone to say, I am a God. You know, bow down to me. You guys all saw 300. Xerxes said, I am a God. We were all like, you look stupid. You know. And I mean, when we start having that attitude, worship me, I am a God. God, that is arrogant. That is stupid. You know, people, they don't respect that. No one's going to follow that. We've got to get humble. We got to have the attitude of Jesus and imitate. I am convinced, guys, through my own personal Bible study, that I have got to imitate all of you guys. That I have got to imitate the people that God's put in my life. I've got to look at everybody I see and imitate the Christ-like qualities. Guys, God has put you around this group of people for a reason. There's a reason you're not in another city and you're right here in Chicago. There's a reason you're in this room today. I want you guys to go through, think about the people in your ministry. What can I learn from every single one of these persons?
Wow.
Can I learn humility? Can I learn how to be more joyful? What can I learn? And guys, if you have that heart of gratitude and you have the heart to imitate, guys, God is going to bless you beyond your imagination. You know, there was a saying when the Titanic sank. There was a caption in one of the articles that said, even God himself cannot sink this ship.
Yeah.
Let me tell you guys something. If God wants to, he can take any one of us out.
Right.
Guys, we have got to be humble. We have got to imitate.